Founding support for The Reading Life comes from Octavia Books. Additional support comes from the Helles Foundation and the Louisiana Endowment for the Humanities, the state affiliate of the National Endowment for the Humanities. Hello and welcome to The Reading Life, your weekly look at the Louisiana literary scene. I'm Susan Larson. This week I'll be talking with Amanda Jones about her book, That Librarian, The Fight Against Book Banning in America. In the ongoing battle over book censorship and the freedom to read, librarians are on the front lines. They are the first responders when books are challenged. They're educators, public servants, dedicated professionals, most of whom view their work as a calling. One award-winning Louisiana librarian, Amanda Jones, the School Library Journal National School Librarian for 2021, and the Louisiana 2020 School Librarian of the Year, has been particularly staunch. She tells her story in a page-turner of a new book, That Librarian, The Fight Against Book Banning in America. Amanda Jones, welcome to The Reading Life.
Hi, thank you for having me.
This book is so many things. It's a memoir of growing up in small-town Watson, Louisiana, going back to teach at the school where you grew up, speaking at a library board of control meeting in 2022, and promptly having your life turned upside down entirely. So talk a little bit about that arc of your life, which is astonishing.
Yeah, I'm very fortunate to get to tell my story. I've been much maligned in the public eye for speaking out against censorship the past few years. And it's a surreal experience to go from really, really high from being, you know, lauded for being named National School Librarian of the Year and State Librarian of the Year. My whole life revolves around my job. I love my job. I love working with kids and being a librarian and just being seen as a community helper. Then all of a sudden, these men make up lies about me for speaking at a public library board meeting to becoming kind of the town pariah because people believe these lies about me. I went from a very, very high place to a very, very low place. And the book helped me get back to where I was before. Just kind of writing down everything that had happened to me and things that are happening to librarians all across the United States for speaking out against book banning.
And also, it can happen to anyone online, and it happens so quickly and so dramatically, and you really bring that home to the fact that, you know, this happens overnight.
It happens, unfortunately, to a lot of people. We're seeing it happen, particularly to educators, librarians. We've seen it happen to doctors and first responders during COVID, and now it's happening to librarians and educators. It can happen just overnight in a matter of minutes. People can post lies or things that are untrue, and then everyone believes them, and then all of a sudden you just have a fall from grace when you didn't even do anything.
And part of the reason you got that wonderful award is because of your above and beyond work during the COVID pandemic. You created this wonderful series, taking your students around the world and finding wonderful ways to educate them during the pandemic to keep them interested online.
I always strive to do the very best I can for my students and for my community as a whole, because I think it's a calling. I feel like it's a calling to be a librarian and to be an educator. And I want to give everything I have to the students and to my community.
The reason you went to that library board meeting was because there were certain key words on the agenda, book content and signage. And that lets you know that this would be a discussion of censorship. So talk a little bit about how you got there and then what you did as a result.
Yeah, I've been as a school librarian that's involved in, I'm in countless, you know, professional organizations. I volunteer for committees statewide and nationally. So I've been aware of, you know, censorship attempts happening in other states and even in other parts of Louisiana for several years. And so when I saw that book content signage were listed on the agenda, it seemed very similar to what had been happening in Lafayette Parish, in which a group had come in and trying to, you know, censor books and displays and things like that. And I saw that a member of that group that had been doing that in Lafayette was posting in our local Livingston Parish Community Board trying to rile people up a day or two before the meeting. So I knew I had to go and speak out. Like, I just knew as a resident, at the time I was a 44-year resident of my community, a library card holder since 1983. I love my public library, and I knew I had to go and speak and defend the books and the policies that were already in place at our library.
Now, book content is often a code word for LGBTQIA content. Books that deal with sexual identity, books that deal with civil rights even, or Black history. And an organization called Citizens for a New Louisiana was really the instigator of this discussion. Am I right?
Yes, that is correct.
And you got up and talked about why you felt we needed these books in the library. And you have a lot of experience from teaching of our need for diverse stories. And you've seen that firsthand in the schools where you teach. So you're speaking from the heart as well as the mind.
Yeah, I've taught for 23 years. And I, unfortunately, have lost many former students who grew up and took their own lives when they became young adults in their early 20s. And many of those that have taken their own lives are members of the LGBTQ community. And I feel like we don't do enough to make our young people feel safe and to feel loved and appreciated. I think that every kid or every member of our community, regardless of age, deserves to see themselves and their families on the books represented on the shelves in libraries. And you know, the LGBTQIA+ community are members of our community too, and so are our Black families. Book censors target, you know, the Black Indigenous people of color, LGBTQ books and authors and characters, and all of those communities, we all make up the same community, and they all pay taxes and deserve to see themselves and their families represented.
You were speaking in support of your public library, the Livingston Parish Public Library, not the library in your school.
Correct. Yes. No, I just went as a citizen. I even stated that in my speech, that I was there as a citizen and as a resident speaking out on behalf of our public library. Of course, people chose to then afterwards identify that I was a school librarian and identify where I work and start harassing me about our own library at our school. I didn't go to defend any one particular title, but to defend books as a whole and the First Amendment, and to really hit home that we already have policies in place for collection development. And anyone who wants to challenge a book, there's already a process. We don't need to collectively go through and just eliminate books based on content. If there's one book in particular that someone has a problem with, we already have policies and reconsideration forms that anyone in the community can fill out.
And that's one of the things you do so well at the end of this book. You tell people what they can do, and you tell people how they can challenge books if they feel strongly that they should be challenged. A lot of people don't realize there is a method.
Yeah, they don't. And that's really when I went to speak, I went to just say that, you know, like if you have a problem with the book, you can, I think it's everyone's right as a community member to challenge a book. Now, this doesn't mean that every challenge, someone says they don't like a book, well, there's a process. You don't get to just have one person say, I don't like a book, and we eliminate it from the shelf. There's a process. There's a committee. There's a whole procedure in place for that. And, you know, that policy does cover the fact that our First Amendment, and there's some Supreme Court precedent cases that take precedent that say you can't move, relocate, or ban a book simply because you disagree with its ideology or its topic. And I wanted to explain that process.
So that was in July, and then in August you received your first death threat, and that's the scene with which you opened the book, and it's a stunning one, and we really feel your anguish, and you bring home how much that kind of online trouble expands into your life.
It's not a fun thing to open up and your email and first thing in the morning and receive a death threat telling, you know, that they know where you live and work and they're coming to get you. And I do work with children, and I don't, you know, my first thought was that someone was going to harm a coworker or a student trying to come get me. Then it turned into fear about my own family. You know, it's fear, and it's what they, you know, when someone sends something like that, a death threat or online hate, they want to silence you. And it worked for about a day or two. But then I got angry and I decided to fight back against it and not be silent, because if they want me to be silent, I'm going to do the exact opposite. So they, in a sense, they were foolish by choosing me as a target, because I'm going to do the exact opposite of what they wanted me to do.
Well, anger brings out courage. I mean, as we know, that's just the truth. I mean, but this was something that didn't just affect you, but your entire family, which had deep roots in your community. And so finally, you decided to take action, and it was dramatic, strong action. And I want you to talk about that decision and what it took.
As an educator, we teach our kids that bullying is not okay, and that if you are attacked verbally or physically, that you should report it and that you should do something about it, take steps to protect yourself. So I felt like, what kind of educator or what kind of community member would I be if I didn't practice what I preach? So I did file several police reports, and I started documenting everything. And then eventually I hired an attorney and I filed a lawsuit, a defamation case. And that gets confused a lot. The people that I'm suing tell everyone that it's a case against how I want to put pornographic books on the shelves in the library, which is ridiculous. No, it's an actual defamation case that I filed. And so I just felt like standing up for myself. And it's very expensive to do that. And so I understand why it's very hard to win. I understand why more people don't. But I have a platform. When you're a librarian that has received awards, and you're given a platform. So if you don't use that platform for good or to set a good example, you're wasting it. So I filed suit.
And you're currently waiting on an appeal in the First Circuit Louisiana Court of Appeal. Am I right?
Yes. The local judge dismissed my case and said that these men, that it's their opinion that I'm committing these crimes, and even though there's no evidence. In fact, I have all the evidence to prove it's a targeted harassment campaign against me. I can prove all four facets of defamation, but I wasn't even given a chance. And so the judge dismissed the case, and it went to the First Circuit. And the First Circuit, two judges said they don't feel they can rule on it based on a technicality. One judge ruled in my favor, so we are appealing that decision. And we're waiting to see if they are going to hear it again in the First Circuit, or if I need to appeal to the Louisiana Supreme Court. We're kind of in a wait-and-see game right now.
Well, there's plenty of courtroom drama in this book, I have to tell you.
Oh, yeah. I feel like my life is a soap opera sometimes.
Well, it's certainly changed a lot. I mean, not to laugh. I mean, but, you know, librarians are never quiet people. They're never retiring people. They're always, to me, very brave and out there people. But you're really out there now. So,
well, I just felt like I needed to take a stand, and yeah, just the trajectory that has taken. You know, I guess when life, that old cliche, life gives you lemons, you have to make lemonade. So I'm going to do the best I can in the situation thrown at me.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Amanda Jones, talking about her book, That Librarian, The Fight Against Book Banning in America. One of the things I admire in this book a lot is that you call out people in power, your local officials in Livingston Parish, then gubernatorial candidate and now Governor Jeff Landry, who set about creating a tip line for people who had complaints about library materials. So Louisiana is not a place where you can say censorship doesn't happen. You know, it happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you've continued your work specifically in that area with two organizations, haven't you?
Yes. A lot of this censorship, these censorship attempts and these book bannings are, they're, first of all, started by politicians or the people who are working for the politicians. And the politicians use them to pander for votes and to install fear into people. Governor Landry, then Attorney General, was trying to stoke fear into people about these books that are in the children's section that weren't. And then, you know, he ran on it as a platform. He's going to save the day when he becomes governor. And it's all a farce because none of those books were in the children's section. And it was Protecting the Innocence Project. And so I felt like calling him out. I felt like calling out my local elected officials, whether that be parish council, my state representative, my state senator. I'm going to call him out. They sure have no problem talking about me publicly.
And then how did the book come about? At what point in all this experience did you know you'd write a book about it?
Throughout the whole thing, I'm very vocal about how when you're attacked online and you're bullied that you should seek therapy. And my therapist had told me I should write some things down. So I would be driving or I'd be thinking and I would pull up the note app on my phone and I would just write down things to help me, you know, just get it off my chest. Mm-hmm. And eventually an editor from Bloomsbury, senior editor from Bloomsbury, he emailed me and asked me, he had heard me on the New York Times First Person podcast. He asked if I had ever thought about writing a book. And I said, well, you know, I kind of joked about it, hadn't really thought seriously about it. But to me, if a senior editor is asking you, you know,
you better do it.
You better do it. So I was fortunate to have an agent, and we just kind of talked back and forth for a couple months. And I wrote an outline, like if I was going to write a book, this would be what I'd want it to be about. Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, I like that. I ended up signing a contract to write a book, and then it became real, and then I had to write it.
And you've moved well beyond Louisiana in this book. You talk about book banning all over the place. So talk a little bit about that experience of expanding this idea.
Yeah, so the book, you know, it talks about, you mentioned, you know, my life growing up, what shaped me as a person, and censorship here in Livingston Parish.
Tell the story about why you became a librarian, what books you loved the most.
Are you talking about the Harry Potter, how I was in college? So I went to Southeastern Louisiana University to get my elementary education degree. And it was right when the first three Harry Potter books like became really big. And when you're in high school and college, I was doing probably too much partying and I wasn't reading as much as I had when I was younger, but the Harry Potter books sucked me back in. And I was like, oh, I just, you know, I love to read. And I had some professors in college who would read aloud to us. And it reminded me of my love of reading. So I went and got special permission to take graduate courses as an undergrad to get my school librarian certification as an undergrad. So I actually graduated college as a certified teacher and a certified school librarian.
And you have done both. You were a classroom teacher for many years.
Yes, 14 years as an English language arts teacher and 9 years as a school librarian. And both are very rewarding jobs.
This put you in a national spotlight. It gave you a platform and it made you think about things perhaps in a larger way. Am I right?
Yes. When I became a school librarian, a few years after I started, I read a book by Marley Dias. Marley Dias Gets It Done and So Can You. And she was 12 or 13 at the time. And she was talking about how as a Black student, she had never really saw books about people that looked like her. She said a lot of the books, the stories they had read had been about white boys and their dogs when she was in school. And it really got me thinking about my collection and our library and how I wanted all students to be represented. And I joined a lot of my professional organizations, state, national, and just as things progressed year by year, I would volunteer more, I would meet more people. And now I have this huge network of librarians all across the United States, school, public, academic, mm-hmm. and we learn and grow from each other, but we learn about things, which is how I learned about, you know, a lot of the censorship attempts, because I want to be the best librarian I can be. And so to do that, you have to continually learn and grow. And so I was, you know, attending conferences and workshops and to be the best I could be. And it the more you do, the bigger your profile you create for yourself. And so I started being recognized at conferences and things, and just kind of snowballed into awards and webinars. And I started speaking about 5 or 6 years ago. I started presenting at conferences. It's just grown every year since then to now. You know, I was already, before all of this happened, this censorship and speaking out against book banning here in Louisiana, I was already doing that, actually.
Yeah, you have to be. You have to do it every day if you're a librarian, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, like, even on the national level, I was already speaking. I had done a panel with author Nikki Grimes several months before anything ever even happened here in Livingston Parish. And I had always been speaking out about library topics. I had already spoken in Canada and South Korea, and but it's just kind of gotten even more widespread since all this happened, and I became even more vocal about censorship. I formed a local Livingston Parish Library Alliance to help protect our public library, and then I joined forces with 2 women in Lafayette Parish, and we formed Louisiana Citizens Against Censorship. And it all just kind of snowballed into a group that we all work together with alliances, and we've built a coalition of people all across Louisiana to fight this statewide.
And you got a nice shout out from Oprah Winfrey. Well, what she said was, Amanda Jones started getting death threats, all for standing up for our right to read. But she's not stopped fighting against book bans or stopped advocating for access to diverse stories. And that was in her speech at the 2023 National Book Awards. This has been quite a journey for you.
Yes, and I don't think the journey is over.
Not by a long shot.
No, I have. In fact, I have a book tour scheduled in the fall, which is so odd to me because as a librarian and reader, I go to book festivals and I go to bookstores and I stand in line to get authors to sign my books. And now to be on the other side, to be signing my own book, I mean, I never had that dream for myself. And I didn't seek out to write a book. And so I've been very fortunate to have these things, these opportunities present themselves to me.
I want to close now, if you don't mind, with a little bit of advice that you have for library lovers in this time that we're living in. You give great advice for people who want to do something but don't quite know how to start. And one of the smartest things you say is not every gesture has to be a grand one.
Correct. Not everybody can speak out publicly, but you can watch what's happening. You can watch your school board meetings, your agendas, your council meetings. You know, there's a website devoted to keeping track of legislation, and you can follow along and stay knowledgeable about what's happening. You can sign petitions. You can follow, you know, our organization, Louisiana Citizens Against Censorship, and fill out email campaigns. We sent over 44,000 emails to the legislature about the 8 anti-library bills this past legislative session. And a lot of people that didn't want to speak out publicly would sign or send emails. And we defeated 6 bills out of the 8. And the 7th one was watered down so much, it's not even, there's no point of it even being a bill. And so people can do that. People can show up at library board or school board meetings and support. You don't have to say anything. You can just be there in support for the people who do. And then if you see someone being attacked, you can send them a message of support. I have received thousands of messages from people, messages of support, and that keeps me going. So I try to return the favor and do it for other people.
Well, it's very comforting to have a roadmap forward and to know there are things that everybody can do, even if it's just standing in solidarity with your local librarian. I've been talking with Amanda Jones, whose new book is That Librarian, The Fight Against Book Banning in America. You can meet her August 24th at Cavalier House in Denham Springs, or August 25th at Cavalier House in Lafayette, or September 6th at Garden District Bookshop in New Orleans. Amanda, thank you so much for everything you do.
Thank you for having me. It was so nice talking with you. Thank you.
Here's what's on tap in the literary life this week. Gabe Soria signs his newest graphic novel for kids, Bright Family, Too Cool for School, The Bright Family Number 3, Saturday, August 24th at 2 at Blue Cypress Books. Amanda Jones discusses and signs That Librarian, The Fight Against Book Banning in America, Saturday, August 24th at 6 at Cavalier House in Denham Springs, Sunday, August 25th at 2 at Cavalier House in Lafayette, as well as September 6th at 6 p.m. at Garden District Bookshop in New Orleans. Ransom Riggs signs the first volume in his new fantasy series, Sunderworld, Volume 1, The Extraordinary Disappointments of Leopold Berry. He appears in conversation with authors Daniel Jose Older and Brittany N. Williams, Wednesday, August 28th at 6 at Octavia Books. The Dickens Fellowship Reading Year begins Saturday, September 7th at 2 in the Bright Library at Metairie Park Country Day School. The first reading segment of the Pickwick Papers is chapters 1 through 11, and Dr. Christian Lehman will join the group via Zoom to introduce the posthumous papers of the Pickwick Club. New members are welcome. Founding support for The Reading Life comes from Octavia Books. Additional support comes from the Hellis Foundation, the Jefferson Parish Public Library, and the Louisiana Endowment for the Humanities, the state affiliate of the National Endowment for the Humanities. Any views, findings, conclusions, or recommendations expressed in The Reading Life do not necessarily represent those of the National Endowment for the Humanities. The theme song for The Reading Life is by Matt Perrine and Sunflower City. The Reading Life is produced by George Ingmeyer and is a production of WWNO. You can listen to us anytime or subscribe to our podcast at WWNO.org. And you can email us at thereadinglife@WWNO.org.